I grew up in a house on Elm Street in Moorhead, Minnesota. And across Elm Street lived one of my best friends. We called ourselves the Elm Street Gang. We didn't get into too much trouble, I don't think. But his dad had a few sayings for us. He had sayings for lots of situations we found ourselves in. And one of those sayings was this: when he was tired of our complaining, he would say with a grin on his face, "You know what? You would complain if they hung you with a new rope." You've maybe heard that one before. I had not heard it before my friend's dad said it a number of times, and it took me a while to figure it out, but I did. And I think this saying also applies not only to the Elm Street Gang, but to the Israelites in our reading today. The Israelites, having been freed from generations of bone-breaking labor and slavery, look over their shoulders and see Pharaoh's army coming after them. And they say to Moses this: "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing that we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." This is a strange point in the story, somewhat comical if we're far removed from it, but Moses might have responded by saying, "The people of God, you know what? You'd complain if they hung you with a new rope." I mean, really think of the monumental piece of leadership and negotiation that Moses pulled off on their behalf, at great risk to himself, by the way. And think of the amazing plagues and miracles that the Lord gave in order that his people could be free. Yet at the first hint of danger, albeit a pretty intimidating danger, they begin to complain their way all the way back into slavery. "It would have been better had we just stayed slaves than to die out here." Now, it's true that Egypt did have an army of warriors and horses and chariots, spears, bloodthirsty soldiers. And Israel had cows, goats, families. They knew how to make bricks out of mud. They had a culture of being underneath the thumb of the Egyptians. Actually, as I begin to look at the odds, we can perhaps begin to appreciate their fear. In the ways of the world, they didn't stand a chance against Pharaoh's army. It was almost like your favorite Minnesota baseball team. With the amazing season we've seen unfold, being freed from mediocrity, on their way to the promised land of the World Series, only to take on the mighty Yankees. In the past 15 years, our chosen ones, the Minnesota Twins, have lost 13 consecutive playoff games, 10 of them to the Yankees. Now the Yankees, with their big chariots, their horses, their big salaries, have ended the Twins' season in 2003 and 2004, 2009, 2010, and 2017. Talk about being under their thumb. And we have on our side, well, Homer Hankies, if you dust them off from 91 or 87. But the Israelites and the Twins need not fear and need not shake, because we have God on our side, right? Well, at least Israel had the Lord on their side. And that, as it turns out, made all the difference. The Twins? Well, time will tell. But the Bomba Squad certainly isn't going to hurt. We've had a pretty magical season thus far. Yet will we find ways to complain? But even more powerful than bombas or home runs, Israel had God's word given to them through Moses, that he would fight for them, and all they had to do was keep still. Not easy to do, as we know, when chariots are breathing down your neck. But so it is with God and his word. Our circumstances may look dire. Life may throw its challenges to you, seemingly impossible chances. But as one of our confirmation students reminded me this past week in our faith interview, with God, all things are possible. And even more when you have God's word in Christ. As the Israelites had God's word, then possible goes right past probable and becomes certainty. Not that they believed or trusted this, mind you, for they were sinners, complaining that Moses and God had put them in this position to die in the wilderness to begin with, which actually was true. They had. So it is when you have been handed such a promise that kills you first in your baptism, that drowns you actually, and then keeps you alive through all sorts of ups and downs in this old world as you are experiencing day to day, to wait in faith for the coming of Christ, to wait for the resurrection of the dead and the recreation of this whole broken world. That beautiful promise that you and I share only on account of Jesus' word. We have this promise. It is your promise. Yet we still complain as well. We are sinners too, you and me, like the Israelites. We would rather sit in the comfortable and relative safety of our own pseudo-virtues, vices really, than be rescued from it all by the one Lord. This was Israel's sin. It is our sin too. Now it's true that we are not slaves for the most part in the same way that the Israelites were. But we are slaves to our own wills, to our own addiction, to the notion that we are in control, that our own sense of righteousness is up to us, that by our own effort or skill or decisions, we can perfect ourselves and we can perfect the world. That is our sin together. And by the way, it was also the Egyptians' sin and the Pharaoh's sin too. We all share that together. God dealt with Pharaoh's army in one way by drowning them. Strangely, God has dealt with us similarly, but a flood, a baptism with a promise. A baptism into the death of Christ. That is the death of our sinner. But also a baptism into the resurrection of Christ. That is the birth of the new you, the saintly you, made so apart from your works and decisions and virtues and sins. You are made perfect now on account of Christ alone. And here is your word of promise. Will we still complain? I suspect so, to the day we die. And God finishes before our eyes what we firmly hold now in faith. We will likely complain until then. Will the Twins beat the Yankees? That I don't know. But win or lose, it is of little consequence compared to the victory won for you by the Lord who saved the Israelites by opening the Red Sea for them and closing it on their enemies. In the same way now, the sea of life has been opened up for you and closed upon your sins. Now you walk on dry land. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. See the deliverance that the Lord has accomplished for you today in Jesus Christ. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Easier said than done some days, isn't it? But this is your promise. As we sing at camp and in confirmation, and all of Pharaoh's army did the dead man's float, and so for your sins as well. You have the deliverance of our Lord Jesus Christ from all of your fears and from all of your sins. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, as we sing our hymn of the day.